Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sox last night, as heard here on the WEEI Red Sox radio network, they win a game they had to win. If they lost consecutive games to the A's, that was looking listless. 4-2 was the deficit. They came back and won it in extra innings. What do we have here now? We have one more game today against the A's, and they go on the road
to Tampa
for six. They come back for three, mm-hmm. and that's the regular season. So mm-hmm. magic number is 8. And I guess... Do you think that the fans... So I think if you ask Craig Breslow in an honest moment, or Alex Cora, if making the playoffs was a successful season, just making it, they would say yes. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say that.
Especially the seasons that they're coming off of.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
I mean, Cora basically said it to us when he said, if you would have told them at spring training, 2 weeks left in the season, that they'd be a playoff team, he would have been like, what? Oh, we'll take that. You know right. what I mean? So he basically told us getting into the playoffs is a successful season.
Tell me for Myers, you know, we're in a playoff spot going into a save with 2 weeks left. I would have taken it.
Yeah.
The three matchups they've got left, though, like they're not ending on an easy note by any means. Like these are all games that they need to do well. These series they need to do well with. And again, I'll say it again and again and again. Wiggy was spot on when they had a nice little cushion and they had easy matchups and they dropped the ball with those
right.
because looking at where they stand right now to go against the Rays, then the Blue Jays, and then end with the Tigers is not exactly where you want to be.
Right. Other than the Rays, the other two teams are really good. So it's going to, you know, you really got to make sure that you're bringing it, because if you don't, then it becomes an epic fail. And then the question becomes, is Cora's job in jeopardy?
Yeah. I feel like if they get to the playoffs and they just lose, so it's best of three on the all three on the road in the mm-hmm. wild card. If they lose just back to back games, I feel like fans will be kind of pissed off.
Right.
But in general, going into next year with a healthy Roman Anthony, with an offseason to invest, I think fan base will be
bounce back right away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to do something that I usually do, but I am delegating responsibility today. We're going to open up the weather window here. Ooh, Jack, what's the weather looking like?
Well, hello there, Curtis. It is cloudy right now in Boston. A little bit of drizzle out there. It'll clear up by the early afternoon. And high of 69 today. Gronk would love that.
I have a question for you, Jack. Totally random question.
Sure.
What is your favorite Boston sports moment of all time?
Nathan Horton's game, double overtime winner against the Canadians in Game 7 in 2011.
Just read the weather boy.
Oh, jeez, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I just broken up with somebody, and I was upset, and I went to...
You broke up with the person, or you were broken up with?
I think I was broken up with.
What happened?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. Yeah. I went to a bar, and I was alone, but I was with like 200 other Bruins fans, and then, you know, I became friends with 200 people in 1 second. It was really fun.
That was awesome. People forget, because of the psychotic nature of his post-playing career, that run by Tim Thomas is as good as any Boston athlete's mm-hmm. ever had. The saves and that Canadiens double overtime, mm-hmm. the breakaway was a jaunt ahead like a breakaway, and he puts his pads up, slides like halfway on the ice.
Had a stick save against Vancouver. Uh-huh. That's, yeah, that was, yeah.
Stack of the pads, Curtis.
Yep. I was here with the DA show the night they won it all in Vancouver uh-huh. when Greg was partying with Whitey Bulger. Anyway, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
He was.
Whitey Bulger?
My dad partied with Whitey Bulger.
Oh, but Greg wasn't with him.
Well, we don't know. Oh. But yeah, he was in that was the game.
What am I going to do with this bulge in my pants?
Is that with the Was that with the water bottle, right? No, that was at the the water bottle Vancouver series.
I think that was, yeah, because it was Nathan Horton who brought the water from the garden ice and put it, because it was all, up until game seven, it had been, each team had won all the games on their home ice. And so they were playing their fourth game, the fourth game in Vancouver. And Horton put the water on there, and the rest, as they say, is history. So thank you, Jackson, for that. I looking forward to this weekend as well. We just did a little bit on the Sox. What do you think, Wiggs? If you had to guess right now, is the big story Monday? Is it that the Patriots, for the first time in two seasons, win consecutive games? Or is it a back down to reality? T.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers come to Gillette and disrupt the Patriots season?
I think it's Drake May played well again. The back-to-back thing, I mean, I wouldn't have known about it until you said it. I think it's going to be more fans are like, okay, Josh and Drake look good again. Is this what we're going to see the remainder of the year? And then if they beat Pittsburgh, good football team, Vrabel is looking like he's doing something that we haven't seen here in a while, which is putting together a good football team, a playoff contender. So I think that will be what we're talking about on Monday.
Now, do we think Christian Gonzalez, because he was seen at practice yesterday, we're going to see him?
I don't think he plays. I mean, I personally don't think he plays. I think they'll probably hold out on him this week, and then maybe he'll get some action next week.
Then why have him practice this week?
I guess maybe to just, you know, test him a little bit.
Ramp him up.
Yeah, see where he's at.
What does the professor expect this weekend? Oh, by the way, big game today, Cambridge, Weston School.
Oh, no, we had one yesterday. We lost. To his credit, there was a kid on the other team that we played, one of the better young soccer players I've ever seen in my life.
Did you do an age check for him, ask for birth certificate?
I didn't. Okay. He was very talented. He scored 5 goals against us.
Oh, what? Damn.
Yeah, he was, one of which was a bicycle kick. Wow. Yeah, he was very talented.
So how are you going to change things up? Did you have like a players only meeting after?
No, we're dealing with some injuries and stuff. We got a good conditioning practice today lined up.
Oh. Very excited. In-game adjustments, like try to run a double team on him or something like that?
Oh, trust me, we did.
And he still scored 5 goals.
Wiggy, he was very, very good.
How old is he? What year?
I believe he's a senior.
Okay, thank God.
Thank God. Is he just going straight to the pros?
That's a good question, Curtis. I have no idea.
What do you think?
I didn't ask.
What do you think?
I didn't want to ask.
What are you looking for this weekend, Coach?
To be honest, I'm looking for a back-to-back good performance from Drake May. Like, I would like back-to-back wins. I think that's the ideal situation. But to me, it's more important that Drake May and Josh McDaniels string together back-to-back great offensive performances, because if you're doing that, you're showing consistency and the ability to do it for, you know, hopefully a season long instead of just a week here and a week there. We need to see it in back-to-back weeks. You're facing a tough pass rush with T.J. Watt on the field. The Steelers defense is generally, at least they come to play at the very least. They may not be the best in football, but Tomlin generally has them prepared. They're generally a well-coached team. So offensively, I am looking for Drake May to have another really good week.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a close game. I feel Aaron Rodgers is just such I have no idea what to expect from him.
No.
Because he's looked 100 years old. And then he's looked like he's vintage.
He made
Aaron
a throw Rogers. In the beginning of that Seahawks game on the run to the right, like out of the pocket, that looks what it was arguably one of the better throws made in the NFL this year, except Pat Freiermuth dropped it. Like it was an absolute seed.
Yeah.
And they probably should have, you know, that's a game that they probably should have won, but the kid with the kickoff return.
Caleb Johnson, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, Rodgers didn't have his best game. But he looks better in Pittsburgh than he did last year with the Jets.
That's like, easy to do, though.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. So, like, the Pittsburgh is a better coach team, better football team. Rodgers is probably in a better headspace mentally. So this is going to be a good test for the Patriots.
I just wonder if week one against the Jets, it was a revenge game for Aaron Rodgers, and that's why he came out so strong, and now we're going to see kind of down to earth what Aaron Rodgers is.
Well, you're also
season.
Seeing, too, after that Buffalo beatdown, the Jets defense just may not be very good, and the Jets in general may not be very good, so I think that might be one of the reasons why Rodgers also looked so good in week one, and then against a very good Seahawks defense, he struggled.
But that could be why Drake May looked so good against Miami.
That also true.
Yeah,
but Sam Darnold lit up the Steelers, so I think Drake May can too.
if Drake May comes back to Earth, that will be the national storyline, that Drake only was good against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He's been bad against two other teams.
Yeah.
So still, it's going to be up and down. Obviously, a lot to learn. I have a question that I ask often. What are we doing? And it pertains to a really pissed off Adam Schefter yesterday. I don't get Adam Schefter. I know he comes on this radio station. You should listen to him every time he comes on. But he is the biggest prima donna of anybody I have ever heard. Like, he gets so mad when people directly quote something he actually said. And then he has a million excuses about why he said it. I'll get to all that coming up next. But right now, here's Courtney with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. It took 10 innings, but the Sox take the second matchup with the A's, a 5-4 walk-off win. Alex Cora talked about the bullpen and the young guys growing up before our eyes from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
That's the thing about Zach. We saw what happened yesterday, right? He was really, really good. What's happened next? And throughout the last, you know, his last 2 years is the up and downs, right? And he went out there, did an amazing job. The kid is going to face lefties all the time. And, you know, what was the last pitch? 97, I think it was. And a lot of emotion. A lot of guys grew up today. And that's where we are, too. You know, like, it's not like we have a bunch of veterans that know what happens in October. So that was a huge learning experience for those two guys.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Alex Cora gave an update on Willy Abreu before the game last night, saying Abreu will not be playing tonight, but he's still on the road to return. They've got another one with the Athletics today. 1:35 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. The Bruins take the ice for the first time in training camp today. Training camp started yesterday. David Pastrnak will not be participating as he's dealing with tendonitis.
What's up with that? Like, how do you have tendonitis to start a camp?
I don't know.
Too much golf at Woodland.
Could have been. That was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and much more. See full savings claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. That's what's trending. Why is Curtis so upset with Adam Schefter? That's coming up next.
Good afternoon, but not such a good afternoon. Red Sox lose to the A's 5-3, lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, and here, unfortunately, is the call of the game.
Here it is, and it is drilled high and deep into left field. If it's high enough, it's out of here, and it is into the second row of the monster seats. Brent Rooker has 30 home runs, and right away, the Athletics lead it 2-0. That was a hanger, and Rooker did not miss it.
A cutter right down the middle that you said it did not do a whole lot. It's a pitch that has really helped Brian Baio mature and develop this year, but that was right in the happy zone for Brent Rooker to crush his 30th home run of the season.
That play of the game for the Athletics, not Brian Baio and the Red Sox, was brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson here, and we got to get right to it. Short program. Also have Tom Curran, top of the 5 o'clock hour. So, boys, I just put up a poll real quick, afternoon's poll, after the Red Sox lose 2 of 3 to the A's, heading to Tampa, the injuries, the offense, slacking, the pitching staff, suddenly not the strength it is supposed to be. Are you worried? Really effing worried? Or is this team toast? Ted, I'll start with you.
Yeah, heck yeah, I'm worried. Are you kidding me? Please, what we're seeing is very, very concerning. I mean, you were all kind of counting on Brian Baio as you're a secure number two, you know, that we felt pretty good about Luis Giolito as the three, you know, and they were kind of getting, you know, they haven't been perfect lately, but you felt pretty good about those guys. Well, Brian Baio, that was his shortest outing since May 23rd. Think about that. The shortest outing, he didn't last, you know, four innings, but he was, I mean, that's 3 months of time that's gone by. So to have him playing, maybe, you know, pitching that bad of a game does not give me confidence with the next nine games. And they're going to need every one of these nine games. The Guardians have won 12 out of the last 15 games. And they are just a game and a half behind you in for that third wild card spot. So I'm nervous, guys. The bats just don't seem to be coming alive. I mean, the pitching is one story, but the bigger story is these guys can't get any hits. Two hits after the second inning? Give me a break.
Fitzy, ESPN tells me the Red Sox have an 88.6% chance to make the playoffs.
That seems high,
like
that? Man.
Yeah, it does. Dang. It doesn't feel
Marty,
like that.
They've got an 88.6% chance. Hogwash, garbage, nonsense. No, they don't. Andy, what are my options again?
Yeah, worried, really effing worried, or they're toast?
They're toast.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they're toast.
I'm sorry. Like, if they make it into the playoffs by the hair of their previously win chinny chin chin, what are they going to do? Oh, no, that's all you got to do. Win and just get in, bro, and then it's a whole new thing. This team cannot get out of its own way. In addition to the fact that the offense was once again thoroughly anemic, this was just a hospital waiting room of a Thursday afternoon at Fenway. Dismal, dismal affair. They make another couple errors. They only avoided being swept by the Oklahoma Athletics by squeaking together a couple of runs late in the game last night and then winning an extra innings. It took an extra inning squeaker to not get swept at home in a series that you needed to win so as to give yourself some breathing room and start building confidence and momentum heading towards the playoffs. This team can't score. Over the last month, Bregman's batting average is .150. I think I saw Rafael's is .180. You have no power. You have no clutch. You've got no momentum. You've got no continuity. And God bless Alex Cora for the false bravado and facade of confidence he showed us yesterday at Fenway, because I don't have any idea how anyone on this team can believe that they can, quote, do damage, let alone get into the playoffs.
And I know you guys mocked my fear of messing with mojo with the change in the lineup. And Trevor Story has stayed hot at the plate. But did you notice he got thrown out stealing last night? And he had two errors in the field today, throwing errors that led to runs. I mean, Your best player is still the only guy hitting. He scored runs. That was a great athletic play to tag up. Uh-huh. And a beautiful slide hits the home run. But I don't know. This team is just, and I give the Hall of Famer credit, Joe Castiglione, listening to the post-game show. He's like, yeah, he made a couple errors, and have you seen this lineup? You just look at this lineup. Even Joe Castiglione, who generally errs on the side of positivity, you look at this lineup, and even the A's have a better lineup. Even the A's have more guys you have confidence they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, can score you some runs. Yeah. Right now, it's Trevor Story. And did you see Yoshida? Yoshida is literally no longer hitting ground balls to second. You know why? Because they're just swinging bunts now. Now they're just swinging bunts that if he played junior league baseball in one of those leagues where if the ball doesn't go past the arc, you're out, he would be out all the time because it wouldn't pass the little arc they put in the field. This lineup, I you're right, Fitzy. I give Cora credit for keeping a straight face when he pencils in that lineup and saying, yeah, we're a good baseball team. We're going to play in October. With what?
Yeah, no, honestly, like, and there's no more reserves to call up. You have basically emptied the Woo Sox so as to bring up every available vibrant young left-handed arm who all, by the way, have contributed wonderfully. You got Toley throwing 100 today. Harrison's going to get a start this weekend. And, oh, my God, no big deal, kid. Is there any chance you could maybe give us what Connelly Early did on the road in a bandbox down in Tampa? Connelly Early has to go on the road on Sunday as well and be a stopper if Crochet can't on Friday night. And he's given up over 1.5 home runs a game over his last month. Andy, everything is trending in the wrong direction. They can't hit. They intermittently can't field. Now the arms are tired. Lucas Giolito was not terribly effective last night, even though he can opt out now. Fine, whatever. Okay, we'll worry about that next year. I've got a lot of now problems. We needed Bayo to be good. We told Corey yesterday, like, it's a 5-6 ERA this month. Are you worried? No, he's going to be fine. He wasn't. Everything's falling apart. I mean, if any semblance of this car crosses the finish line of the race, it's not running again. It's just going to get in there and get waxed.
So, Ted, let me give you two things that I think are sort of reasons for a little hope or positivity. One would be what you just referenced. I don't know how the Guardians can keep winning at this rate. Like, that's just, it doesn't feel sustainable through another, whatever, 10 games, end of the season here.
They're on a seven-game winning streak and won 12 out of their last 15. Yep.
This is baseball. This is baseball where you're now due to lose 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, whatever, if you're the Guardians. The second thing I would say, though, Fitzy, if the Red Sox do get in, and Dan Ball updated the FanGraphs version of their percentage to make the playoffs is 83%, so they still have an 80-plus percent chance to make the playoffs. Man. I will say that performance by Peyton Tolley today made me think, okay, Chapman in the ninth. I'm going to work backwards here. Chapman in the ninth, Whitlock in the eighth, Tolley in the seventh. That looks like it would be kind of fun in a postseason game.
Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, you're bragging about your call for Trevor Story getting called out at second, which was a nice call, buddy. But I got to pat myself on the shoulder because I just thought, you know, Tolley would be better in the bullpen. They did.
Yep.
They announced it last night, and he went in there, and you saw what he did. So that's a positive for sure. And you just, if you compare the two schedules, it's a two horse race here between the Guardians and the Red Sox. I mean, the Guardians have 4 games against Minnesota, 3 against Texas, and 3 against Detroit. So, like, comparatively speaking to the Red Sox, they got a much easier kind of road there compared to the Red Sox. And so it's just going to be every night watching what those two teams do, man. But you look at the lineup, and I remember we were at the Fenway last Friday, you and I, Andy, and we were looking at the TV screen with the lineup, and we're like, man, it just doesn't. But it's like, it's still got Jaron Duran up there. It's still got Alex Bregman up there. It's still got, you know, Nathaniel Lowe and Carlos Novaez and Rafaela. And those guys, there were times in the season in which they were. I mean, does anybody remember how Carlos Novaez started the season on fire? Like, and so there's just a lot of guys that were really just really playing maybe over their skis to start the season. That when you look at them now in the recent month and a half, they're different players, and that's what's so confounding.
I was just going to say, Fitzy, if you look at the guys, some guy, Narvaez, young guy, don't know. Okay, Rafaela, still young, streaky. But, Ted, you mentioned two guys. Duran and Bregman are guys that are established enough. You should say, okay, I know you've been in slumps. Duran, you haven't had the kind of year you had a year ago. Well, guess what? You got 2 weeks to get us in the play. Like, those are the guys I would say you need to step up. Rafaela, I don't have a lot of confidence in at this point where he's at. Because if you can just get a couple guys joining Story in the fun, and if that's just Duran, Story, Bregman, well, at least you got a third of a lineup, and every 3 innings you hope you can have a chance to score a run. And I think those guys are established enough, Fitzy, as veterans that, you know, this is nut cutting time. You need to put up or shut up, because if you don't, you might be going home.
Okay, sure. That's fine, but it's been nut cutting time. It's been put up or shut up. It's been make the playoffs or make postseason plans time for a couple days, if not a week plus now. And they can't stop this slide, guys. It's real. Like, this is turning into the baseball version of the incinerator scene in Toy Story 3. Like, unless the little green guys are going to come in with the claw magically and save us sometime soon, this team seems like it is hurtling towards a very unpleasant finish at a rapid descending rate. And I'll put it this way, Ted, if you're telling me that the Guardians have an easier schedule over their final 10 and they're white hot right now, playing the right kind of baseball with a lineup that is more clutch and more fearsome than the Red Sox. Let's say the Guardians go 6-4 and they're a game and a half behind the Sox. Andy, Ted, do either of you have any confidence right now that the Red Sox can win 4 of their next 10 games? Like, really, the way that
not
they're
right
hitting?
Not the way they're hitting. Just no bats at all. Like,
that's also too big a picture for me. I have trouble envisioning them winning any games. I mean, I don't want to be the flip side of negative, but you're sending Garrett Crochet to the mound tomorrow in what feels more and more like a must-win game to take some pressure off of Harrison and Early. And what has his issue been lately?
Yep.
Home runs allowed. What happens when you go to Tampa? Teams hit home runs. The Yankees hit 14 home runs in a 2-game series in Tampa. Like, now I'm worried about that situation because there is no room for error. right? You pretty much, if you go, if you're Crochet, you have to think if you give up two runs, you could lose. You really can only give up one or fewer runs if you're going to give this team a chance to win.
And I just want to jump in real quick and say that there's a lot of pressure, even though it might not feel like it for us every day, but they're feeling the pressure of having to win because they feel it slipping away. And you look at the profile of this team as a young team with some older guys that are maybe something or past their prime or don't have much left in the tank. And so they're kind of just, you can tell it's getting to them. It's there's this pressure stuff right here. You have a chance to get in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And the way the season started and how they were clicking on all cylinders when Roman was healthy and playing every day to where they are now, I feel like it's just a very tight group built on a lot of young guys that haven't been here before.
617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call here. Eric in Chicopee has a thought on Cora and the Sox. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I also agree they're toast. And, I understand all the quote-unquote excuses, especially the ones about losing games in the past. But they're losing these games now. And I understand when a team's feeling pressure, like you guys were just saying, yes, they're definitely feeling the pressure. But I don't like Cora's sort of laissez-faire, politically correct comment about, oh, if you would have told us in spring training with 2 weeks left, we'd be in the playoff spot. At some point, masking or ignoring the fact that you need to win now doesn't make the pressure go away. I think
thanks for your call, Eric. Oh, sorry, we're in a little up against it here. I don't think he's trying to mask it. I think, honestly, he's trying to stay positive for what Ted just talked about, a team that's feeling pressure, a team that sees its season slipping away, and he's trying not to, exacerbate the situation with the Boston Red Sox. They lose 5-3 today. They lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, and it feels like their playoff chances could be slipping away, although the numbers say it's still above 80%. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Up next, joining the conversation about the Patriots, our weekly check-in with Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here with WEEI Afternoons. That's up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe leading you up to day baseball on WEEI. Red Sox and A's today, 1:35. Pregame at 12:35. We're sticking around with Joe Weil, hanging out in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio for a couple of segments today. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. But we're pleased to be joined by Rob Bradley.
McFarland.
McFarland yes. To you, Rob, as well. Baseball isn't boring. And WEEI joining us here at Fenway Park. What's going on, Rob?
So we talked about a lot of things in the break, right? Mm-hmm. Which I could just keep talking to you guys all the live long day, especially after that awesome Lucas Giolito podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, excellent.
It helped Giolito quite a bit last week.
All right, Jones. The curse.
Lay off him, would you?
Usually, see, you do a Baseball's and Boring podcast, you get the bump. Yeah. I don't know what happens when you do the Dork podcast.
I don't know.
We're going to have to track that, monitor it. But I was doing everything in my power not to say what I wanted to say right now, which is I heard you talking about Spinal Tap, Spinal Tap 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me so sad it's not doing well.
Yeah, it's not doing well at all.
But it makes me happy you said it was good.
It was good, yeah.
But you were reading the lineup, and what do you say? It's like it should be Eaton Wong, you know?
Yeah.
Which immediately,
yeah, I was a wise man. Yeah.
Yeah. immediately it made me think of Spinal Tap, and why?
Of course.
Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. No doubt. Amazing.
I look driving and I'm like, why does it sound familiar? Oh, yes. Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg from Spinal Tap.
Yeah, they went away from it today in the lineup. They did not. They broke those guys up a little bit.
Wow.
But Nate Eaton, one of the heroes from last night.
Yeah.
Rob, a game that they had to have, and you feel a little bit better about it. But how do you feel about these final 10 games and where they're at? 2.5 up on the Guardians.
I feel somewhere in between. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2025 Red Sox, colon, maybe. I think that what still concerns me is your inability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I know that they did last night.
You got Yoshida hitting cleanup today. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Excellent job by Nick by going the exhaustive research in the home run log. I will say this, is that one of the good signs for me was Cora, and I know you talked a lot about Cora today, and I'm not too much like, oh my goodness, Cora had an unbelievable game, and just like I'm not too much the day before, oh my goodness, Cora blew it. But the Cora likes suggesting or accepting that you have to pinch it for Rafaela, what you have to understand is that in the playoffs in key games, you have to make contact. And that was the perfect example. If you go early in the year, they were losing these one-run games. I still say a big reason why they did that was because they struck out more than everybody. They swung and missed more than everybody. When the rubber meets the road in late September and October, you have to put the ball in play. And I think that's a good example of it. So that's what you have to do. It kind of sucks that you have to grind it out as much as you have to grind it out. But it comes back to the same thing, guys. All these teams are flawed. And every time I've gone on our show on Saturdays many times and said, how are they ever going to score more than one run? And then they score like 15. So it's a bizarre team in a bizarre season. But at this point, science would suggest they are in the playoffs right now.
Okay. You're not as optimistic on that as I was thinking.
They really should be.
Well, I mean, I don't.
They should be, but let's say your hunch, your suspicion is right. They maybe don't get in. They collapse.
No. I think they're going to get in.
Let's say they don't.
Okay.
That's great. Who gets the most blame?
I think Breslow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I heard you say
Jones
about
doesn't want to hear that.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, no, I think that. Cora, I hear what you're saying with Cora. I like you personally. You're prerogative to be wrong. TM. But here's let me tell you why. Because I think that ultimately what you've dealt with, what you've had to deal with in terms of talent, and you make a good point about you have Crochet, you have these relievers, you have pieces, but it's not like if you stack up this Red Sox roster against the Yankees. The Yankees are better, and I think that basically what had happened was that if they don't make it, then you didn't find a legitimate bat. You didn't find the Kyle Schwarber of the world. You didn't do enough at the trade deadline. I just think that that's the way to go, because I think that with Cora, I think he had a very, very uneven, less than great beginning of the year. But I think with the managers, when this happens to me, it's when you don't have a good handle on what you have. And this is what concerns me about this team right now. If we want to talk about Cora, because maybe ultimately Cora gets the blame. But at the beginning of the year, I don't think he had a great handle on what he had. They were all over the place, the bullpen, the lineup, everything else. And now his challenge, guys, is to find exactly who is going to do what. And I'll give you an example. He brings in Weissert. I agree. Not a great move. I mean, since August 1st, 5 inherited runs, runners, 4 scored. So not a great move. But 2 days later, would he have done Zach Kelly? Because all of a sudden, Zach Kelly's pitching better. That's the point. And what do you have in Peyton Tolley? Is he a rookie? Do you have the potential? Do you have the production? You don't know what you have, and you have to figure that out in the next week and a half. And then in October, because when Cora was at his best, it was, I know where all these pieces fit. And it's a very convoluted answer to your question, so I apologize.
Does Cora have added value because they probably have a better chance of retaining Bregman if he's still here?
No.
It doesn't factor in?
No. I mean, you guys think Bregman's going to opt out?
No, I don't.
I don't think it's a slam dunk. Yeah, I don't think it's
there's
a slam dunk.
There's a lot of talk about it. Jones and I actually agree on that. We don't think he's really a flight risk.
He hasn't hit for 2 months, and he missed 2 months.
And he got hurt and all that other stuff. But I just wonder, like, you also do need to bring him back. Like, for, however.
Yeah, I think. Well, I've said this. I think Bregman is worth more to the Red Sox than maybe a lot of other teams perceive worth. And, you know, as I said, when I talked to Boris and he was pounding, well, he's not going to have the qualifying offer. And look, the Red Sox have all this money to spend because all these guys took bad deal, team-friendly deals and so forth. All true. That's fine. But the ultimately, with this production with Bregman has in the second half, to go into a free agent market, is he's got another opportunity to this. I mean, he has another year of $40 million and then another opt-out.
Right.
So he can do it all again. So I don't think Cora, I mean, Cora doesn't hurt,
yeah,
but I don't think that's the be-all, end-all.
So Bregman could opt out, as could Giolito and Story. Do you think either of them opt out?
I think Giolito is, he will probably opt out, take free agency. They could offer him the qualifying offer, which I think would kind of mess him up, much like it kind of did. Pivetta got a deal with San Diego, but he would have got a better deal if there wasn't a qualifying offer. And if he takes the qualifying offer, instead of the $19 million he would pick up on his option, you get probably around 21. So, okay. But I could see the Red Sox saying, all right, you know what, 2-3 year deal. But in terms of this boon that Giolito's going to get by becoming a free agent like he did last night, I don't know if that's going to be there. So I think that to answer your question about Giolito, I think that they'll show interest in him because what he represents and how good he's been. And then Story was the other one. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to opt out. I just don't.
He's had a really good year.
He's had a really good year.
What is the situation? It's like if he opts out now, he would be leaving like 2 or 3 years on the table. Like there's a weird like opt out. It's not like year by year like Bregman would be.
No. He would basically be going to free agency and bypassing the last couple of years of a pretty good deal. Now, what is he, like $25 million, I think, a year? But which is good. Is he playing above $25 million this year? Probably. Yeah, probably. Even, although you look at this isn't fair to him because we know how good he's been other than May, but you look at his overall numbers, you know, OPS. What's his OPS? Is it over? It's not over 800 yet, is it?
Oh, is it that? Is it not?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of insane to think about. I mean, that's what people, that's how bad he was.
Story's OPS is 752.
Yeah, so exactly.
Wow, that's a lot lower than I would have guessed.
Yeah, I mean, and but again.
A lot of steals, though.
A lot of steals.
Listen.
Guys got a lot of bags.
31 for 31. Biggest lead in the game. Biggest lead in the game.
That's true.
Everyone loves a good lead.
Yeah, he really goes. Are they going to get Willie or Abreu back at any point?
Yes, I believe at some point.
Do you?
In 2025?
Yeah, I don't know.
Am I mistaken? Did you say you don't think we see him even this weekend? Did I see that from you?
I would not be surprised if you don't see him this weekend. I do not.
This weekend?
I do not believe any injury updates ever.
Yeah.
And I just know this, is that, you know, you're still having some discomfort, and I know he classified it, well, it's, what did he say? It's not like pain. It's just soreness.
This is Abreu. We played a clip from, or maybe I heard Cora talking about it, where he said, yeah, it was soreness, not pain.
Yeah. I think they also know that if you bring him back earlier than you have to, then you're going to, this the calf thing. And as we've documented, we all have elite calves.
Yeah.
So if
calf strength.
Calf strength.
A little calf raises, don't
Mike, remember,
do that.
Remember Mike Aviles? Remember Mike Aviles?
Yeah, I remember Mike Aviles. Bobby Valentine taught him how to catch a fly ball.
Yeah. Well, Google Mike Aviles calves.
Can I do that on a work computer? I mean, this is pieces of meat.
This is maybe my, of all the things I've done professionally, taking a picture of Mike Aviles' calf might be the most impactful thing I've ever done.
Oh, that is
sick. Right?
Defined.
Like Tyler O'Neill's arm.
Tyler O'Neill's arms on a calf. That is exactly on a lower leg.
There you go.
Exciting.
So I think that my guess is that next week, if you have no significant setbacks, but yeah, next week.
How about Roman Anthony?
No.
Well, he's marching around on a treadmill.
Sneaky great line by Fitzy, the Natick Mall line. walking the Natick Mall.
Good spot.
Oh, yeah. I know that Kerstin Ken Laird back there was very excited about Roman Anthony, about him going into Cora and saying, hey, I feel good. But you're still walking on a treadmill for 20. I think nothing has changed in terms of.
No, we're not going to see him.
I mean, you'll see him when the place is full in the ALCS. Let's go. By the way, it's like, it's just so depressing that potentially that everyone has to go to Houston or Seattle.
Yeah, well, what's your prediction on that? So right now the Yankees are the top wild card team.
I think you go
team.
To Seattle.
You think it's at Seattle?
Yeah. And which makes me sad because
– it's a long flight for you.
It's a long – yeah, I know the Chilean Mariners had the same problem. But the – I'm kind of dating myself now. I'm sticking the straw up through the ground. No, nobody got that.
Mike Avila's Cavs right into the Chilean Miners. Nobody else can do it.
I bring it all.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a third one where I was – the sole reason I want the Red Sox to do well and get a home game for the Yankees is because there's – I don't know if I broached this with you. There's only one person to throw out the first pitch of that game. One person. And by the way, that person...
In a Sox-Yankees game?
Yeah, that person I was on...
George W. Bush?
That person I was on the phone with last night and confirmed they will agree to throw out the first pitch.
Oh.
Yeah. My co-author.
Wade Boggs.
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly,
of course.
I mean,
I was about to
between Tyler Austin and talking a boatload of crap to the Yankees after the World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
This would rival the Daniel Peck Josh Beckett ex-girlfriend in Cleveland in 2007.
But if you got Jacoby Ellsbury, Johnny Damon, Roger Clemens, Wade Boggs,
no.
Ramiro Mendoza.
No. This, come on.
Don Zimmer from the sky.
No. Jerseys, yes. Half Yankee, half Red Sox jerseys. They all come out.
All right, well, Brad Fulbright gets some. Joe Kelly would agree to throw out the first pitch.
He would agree.
Should it get there. He would agree to do it.
That's good news.
He has agreed. We're halfway there.
Okay, good. Well, we got to get the rest of the way.
All you need is an invite.
All right, Hogdale, let's go.
Hog's coming in. Hog's on deck.
I saw him walking, right? He was just walking around. He's trying to find a way to get in.
He's behind you.
Oh, there he is.
Behind you.
The Hogman's here. All right, I love it. He's everywhere.
All right, well, Brad Foe is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlaneEnergy.com. Brad Foe, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Thank you.
We got Hogdale here. We'll check in next.
It's time for the Front Office Report with the Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow. And the Front Office Report is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, Perfecting the Art of Fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I am good. Good morning. Quick turnaround from last night to today. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a much easier turnaround given the win in 10 innings. Magic number down to 8. What are you looking for down the stretch run here as you're preparing, I'm sure, scouting for the playoffs, but wanting to make sure you get in before that happens?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that we can do is keep the focus on the day-to-day. You talk in the offseason about building a roster that's capable of making the postseason and a deep postseason run, and we talk about playing meaningful games in September, and now that we're in the midst of it, there's a ton of energy and enthusiasm around the park. It's a fun place to show up at every day. But I think from my perspective, the coaching staff, the players, it's the focus on what we have to do and how we can execute today to win the game.
And, you know, we do a lot of this, you know, what's a successful season? Is just making the playoffs enough? Where do you stand on, how do you gauge the season when it comes to your role as the baseball czar for the organization? Is it just making the playoffs? Is it, you know, advancing a series? How do you gauge what would be a successful season for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think you have to go back to our stated goals. And, you know, we tried to build a roster that we felt could compete for the division, could make the postseason, and was capable of a deep postseason run. And you know, we can look at our record today and say our record in 2025 is going to be an improvement relative to 2024, but that's not what our goals were. So, you know, I think we need to finish strong here. We need to make the postseason, and you know, we should prime ourselves for a deep postseason run.
Craig, when you look at finishing strong, you guys ultimately have kind of backed yourself into a corner a little bit because of some of, you know, earlier series that I think, you know, a lot of us expected you to win. I think Arizona was one of them. I forget the other one that we had talked about. Obviously, the Yankees series and that. What's the message been to that team as far as, you know, like being backed in a corner right now?
Yeah, well, we can't go back and win the games that, you know, that we lost. But in the moment, you always think about, man, this one, you know, this one hurts, or this was a very winnable game, you know, and you hope that you're not looking back at the end of the season and thinking that you're a game away or two games away from being where you want to be. But in terms of backing ourselves into a corner, I'm not sure that that's the way the players or the staff see it.
for two reasons. One is because this is a group that has overcome a ton of adversity and challenges and has shown a ton of resilience, you know, whether that's injuries, you know, guys, important pieces being out for lengthy periods of time. And then the other is, you know, because I think that could force you to lose sight of the small things that you need to do to execute, you know, in order to win. And we've had chances to win a lot of the games that you just brought up. We've had traffic on the bases. We've had some good at bats to put ourselves in position to score runs. And what we haven't done is, you know, gotten the big hit or put the ball in play to get a run across the board. Fortunately, we were able to do that last night, but I think that focus on execution is where we should be spending our time.
Craig, the return of Willy Abreu seems to keep getting pushed. Is this just a precaution to make sure he's fully ready to come back? Is it the timing of where you're at in the season, or is he facing setbacks?
He's not facing setbacks. You know, I think we're trying to exercise the right amount of caution, but also recognize where we are in the season and the importance of getting him back and what he means in our lineup. You know, the second that we can write his name into the middle of our lineup, we give ourselves a guy that can hit the ball out of the park, you know, capable of 25 to 30 home run potential. But Cavs are, they're fickle, you know, and it seems like we've been in this kind of day-to-day period for a few weeks now. But he's making pretty steady progress. He's had some aggressive base running and swings earlier in the week. And, you know, we want to make sure that when he comes back, he's capable of helping us and contributing.
Craig, just, I know we spoke with you, or I asked you a couple weeks ago about the rotation, balancing, getting guys ready for the wild card round or the first round of the playoffs, as opposed to pursuing the division championship and getting seeding. Has your mindset shifted at all? Is it all about getting, you know, Crochet the ample amount of rest ready for that first playoff game? And, or is it, you know, still trying to win every game you can right now?
Yeah, I think right now, as kind of dictated by the way that we've mapped out the rotation, we've got to win these games. We've got to get ourselves in before we worry about how we're set up once we're there. You know, and getting guys on regular rest, and you know, making sure that the top of our rotation is touching the ball as many times as possible, you know, in this last week and a half is really important. And then we'll figure out how we can buy ourselves some rest. We've got some off days coming up that we'll be able to take advantage of. If we need to keep somebody short, we can always do that. But the way that Connolly has stepped into the rotation also gives us quite a bit of optimism and confidence for how we're going to stack up no matter how the rotation falls.
And you brought up Connolly early, got taken out early, no pun intended, with 80 pitches. Is that another case where you're telling Cora that you need to take him out here? We're at this pitch limit, how did that work that night?
Yeah, so Alex, Andrew, and I, alongside medical staff, we're always talking about you know, workloads and what we think guys are capable of, and you know, and then Alex, Andrew, and I will talk through some different scenarios and strategies before the game happens. But I think we all have been doing this long enough to recognize that a game is fluid, and once the game starts, like, the manager has the ability to make in-game decisions. And you know, Alex felt like there was an opportunity to create a good matchup with Weiss. It didn't work out, but if it had, then we would have all been, you know, applauding that. And so, you know, I think we saw last night Alex handle the bullpen management deftly and put ourselves in a really good position to win.
Just quickly on that, though. So in the playoffs, if you are to get there, you know, does the analytics play a bigger role, or do you give it more to the field given the short sample size of each of these series and the must-win nature of those games?
I think the way that I see this is, you know, the job of the front office, the analysts, is to try to provide our staff with as much information as we can, recognizing that, you know, once the first pitch is thrown, it's on the field staff to make decisions. And, you know, Alex has done a really good job with that, marrying the information that we're able to work through and provide together with recognizing that there are things that come up in games that force you to make real-time adjustments. And, you know, sometimes we talk through those once the game is over, and we have really productive conversations just about, you know, some of the things that came up and how we react to them. But ultimately, I've got a ton of confidence in Alex's in-game decision-making.
Craig, when you look at your team, where is Roman Anthony as far as maybe somebody that you could see playing in the postseason, obviously, if you guys get there? What's his status looking like?
Yeah, so he's making progress, albeit slow but steady progress, just in terms of the symptoms subsiding, feeling a lot more comfortable, activity ramping up. I know a lot has been made of his walks over the last few days. But I think there's also been a noticeable shift just in the way that Roman is thinking about the injury and thinking about his timeline, and he is committed doing everything he possibly can to getting back on the field. And obviously that's only going to be a boom to what we're trying to do here.
Craig, Curtis brought up Connolly early and then Kyle Harrison, Peyton Tolley being put into the bullpen. What do you see as the future for him? Because his first outing was so great and then things kind of fell off. What's the future look like for Peyton Tolley?
Yes, we still have a ton of confidence in his ability to be an impact major league starting pitcher. This is a situation where we're trying to give ourselves the best chance of winning every game possible. And Connolly, kind of has the true starter mix right now. I think we've seen that manifest over his two starts. And Kyle Harrison is, he's pitched as a starter in the big leagues. and some of the additions to his repertoire, we feel like will give him the ability to navigate a lineup a few times. And Peyton's just got, this big fastball that we think can play really well out of the pen and not just cover innings, but actually be a weapon and provide real impact out of the pen. So that's what went into those decisions.
What did you take from Cora's comments recently saying he wants to stop all the talk about October?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I took that was as the manager, he needs to be consumed with the day-to-day and the focus on preparing for tonight's game to give ourselves the best chance possible to win it. So I think that a lot was made out of that, and was this questioning kind of the confidence in the team or any of that. And I just look at that as, what is the role of the manager? And it's prepare our players to play as well as they can every single day. And if you're thinking about a week from now or 2 weeks from now, it's going to be really hard to focus on the present.
Craig, that's very interesting because I would agree that the moment you're in is for the managers and the players to focus on that. But for somebody in the front office like yourself, you have to not only think about the present, but you also have to think about the future. When you look at this team, and whether it's you or Cora talking about the young talent that you have, can we expect as fans for you guys to be super aggressive in the offseason, knowing that you have this young talent and you want to bolster this, bolster this team with adding some pieces and being very aggressive?
Yes, I think going back to that first comment that the manager is thinking about the present and the day-to-day, and my job is to try to balance the short-term with the long-term. Like, I think that's exactly right, and I've talked a lot about how Alex and I have different jobs and we need to complement each other. But now in terms of what, the off season, what the future holds, I do think that the outlook for this organization is incredibly positive. We can see kind of the brand of baseball that we're looking to play, this exciting, young, athletic, dynamic group that should be cornerstones for a really long time. And our job in the front office is to supplement that group with talent that can help us, put us over the edge. So we're going to explore every opportunity to bolster the roster, to improve, because we believe like our window of contention is upon us right now.
All right, Craig. Well, Greg will be back next week, and he just wants to know when you guys clinch, which bar to go to. So you can just pass that along to Ken or someone. We'll figure that out. But good luck today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. There's Craig Breslow. He's going to party like a rock star when they clinch. He's going to have three Zimas.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see those photos.
Who do you think gets drunker off of less booze, Ken or Craig?
Oh, it's Ken.
Yeah.
That's true.
I bet Craig is like a secret, really fun guy to go out with.
I think that you've never had a worse guest.
No, I really do. I really do.
Could
like,
be one of those?
Yes.
Like,
really lets loose.
See, he comes off to me as a big IPA guy, which is why he can drink a few beers compared to Ken, who barely drinks at all.
It's Ken's like fun.
It's like work.
Stop it, Courtney.
He gets buzzed off of like two Miller Lights.
I know. That's
it's
fun.
Like front office Craig versus potty Craig.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa,
yeah.
All right.
Like World Series parade, oof, duck boats him, like chugging beers.
He's going to be chugging beer cans at people. It'll be amazing. Well, thank you for that, Craig Breslow. I think we've all gotten informed about the state of the stocks. We will have Hill Notes, but first, here's Courtney with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. It took 10 innings, but the Sox take the second matchup with the A's, a 5-4 walk-off win. Alex Cora gave an update on Willy Abreu before the game last night, saying Abreu will not be playing this evening, but he is still on the road to return. Another one with the A's today, 1:35 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. And the Bruins take the ice for the first time of training camp today. Training camp started yesterday. David Pastrnak will not be participating as he's dealing with tendonitis. And drive away in a brand new Subaru, SubaruofNewEngland.com. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive-away event. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Your Hill Notes coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora joining us in studio here. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. Cora, how are we doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I mean, you know, there's some angst in the air, I don't know if you've noticed, in Red Sox Nation. But let's start with the good. Before we get into some of those questions and angst, back-to-back starts from Connolly early where he was unbelievably good. Whatever else happens around him, you have to like what you saw from the young pitcher.
Yeah, and that's something we've been talking about the whole season, right? Like, if we pitch, we're going to be okay. And he's part of the equation now. That's a really good lineup. They do damage against left-handed pitching. And to pitch in Sacramento where the ball flies and strike out 11 and be under control, that was one thing. And then yesterday, his first outing at Fenway, and you see him in the clubhouse, you see him in the pregame meeting, and the way he behaved on the mound, that was eye-opening. You know, very calm, uses all his pitches, understands when to expand, controlled the running game yesterday. So that was great to see.
Well, Alex, love you, mean it, but now I'm going to have to be the bad guy and ask a tough question or two. So, one, whose decision was it to pull early at 80? Was that something that was preordained to start the game off?
I made the decision.
You did? That was your call to pull him at 5 1/3. It was looking good.
Yep.
I know he has one guy on. And then subsequently, why Weissert in that spot? Only because I know, I've been at some of these games as well. I've seen him, the Toley outing as well. Runners inherited score, position score. Back in July, I believe it was July 2nd, came into a game, had a tough spot. I feel like clean innings benefit him well, but I wasn't sure if that was gut, numbers, or both.
No. I think right now where we're at with Slayton, we prefer him in clean innings. Obviously, he's building up. So the other righty that we have is Zach Kelly, who can mm-hmm. go multiple innings. So you keep him in the bullpen as long as possible. And if something happens, then you bring him later in the game. But with Wise, he's thrown the ball well, you know, and he got the big out. He got the righty out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made a mistake on the fastball right down the middle. And we talk about that situation. And for me, you know, made a first 3-2 count, and we wanted him to chase up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the walk there. You know, you go up, he swings at it. It's a strikeout. He doesn't swing at it. It's a walk, and you move on to the next guy. So, I mean, he's been good for us the whole season, and he's one of the righties that we trust.
While you clearly have reasoning behind every decision you make, when it goes sideways, when it doesn't work out the way you want, do you second guess? Do you agonize? Because everybody else does, right? Everybody on the outside.
I don't second guess, but I go home and you think about it, right? And it's one of those that for a while there, whenever we made a move, it worked out, right? And you know, it didn't work out yesterday. It didn't work out. I was just looking at some of them, you know, and the Toley one. We talk about it, and that's the reason we brought him in too with men at first. I think you know everybody gets caught up. Oh, he's 5-1-1/3, but that guy gets on, he's second and third, and we're going to have to make a move there. And you're going to put him in a tougher spot as a reliever, second and third, one out, first and second, one out, and then you really have to make pitches.
Okay, we'll talk about no politics at the dinner table. We will not talk about October right now. That has been banned from the program.
Right? It's not banned. I mean, the question was about the third catcher in October. Yeah. So, like,
well, because like, there's so many different things we'd love to. I know you're not there yet, and I, you know, I'm not sure if you're a superstitious man or not. I know you want to focus one game at a time. You got 11 left, and that last night was a tough one, and you'd love to pick up a few more that could give you distance between the Guardians and really secure this wild card spot. But has Connolly early pitched well enough, even though it's only in two starts, to secure that fourth spot either the remainder of the way or should you need a fourth starter in the postseason?
He's pitching on Sunday, so I think that tells you the whole story, right? And it's not that, you know, we can talk about how young he is and all that, but pitchability comes into play, and yep. He has a lot of weapons. And, you know, the fastball plays, but the off-speed pitches, they're really good. And there's something about being under control in the mound that really gets my attention. And, you know, he's been with us, what, 10 days, and it feels like he's been with us for, like, 3 months, you know? Like, he's not in awe of what's going on. Now he's getting ready for his next start for Tampa. He was in the video room looking at video, looking at scouting reports. So, I mean, that means a lot to us, and we know we can trust him.
I just wanted to follow up. So Toley, obviously, it's almost like a show, really. He's such a larger-than-life human being and so emotional and demonstrative, but Early has this quiet calm about him. Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know, but they're the total opposite, but good kids, you know. Yeah. And actually, Early in the clubhouse, he's loud. He's always talking to people, you know. He has his own personality. But when it comes to pitching, you know, he's very calm, very thoughtful. And that's talking to Jason, you know, and to the captain, Veritek. When we met with Early in Sacramento for his start, that's the first time that I seen a rookie coming in with his notes. You know, usually it's like, you guys tell me and I execute. With him, he was prepared. He knew the opponent. You know, Carlos is leading the meeting. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I like that, but we can do this too, you know? And I was telling Jason, I said, hey, this is cool. You know, like, I mean, preparation comes into play. It's your first big league start. If I was him, I'd be like, hey, man, you dial it and I throw it, you know? Right. So really good pitcher, really good kid. One of the things that coming into the season, I think everybody was talking about our position players in player development, right? That was the whole talk, the big three. And if you look at the season, we have broad arms that have helped us win games, you know? And we're in a good spot now and in the future because he's a combination of both, you know? You have to pitch in this league to win championships, and I do believe as an organization we're doing an amazing job with that.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with us at Fenway Park, WEEI Afternoons. Getting back to the October comment that gained a lot of traction. First of all,
I love it.
You kind of did it to me 3 weeks ago maybe. I brought up bunting, and I said, was that an eye on October? And you go, no, that's an eye on September.
Yeah.
And I get that focus, but you guys have talked about October, even going back to February, I think, like, you know, Bregman arrives, Crochet. It's like we plan on playing in October. That comment, do you regret saying it? Did it come off as a sign of like, I don't have faith in my team anymore? Like, how do you feel like that reacted?
No, it was more about the third catcher question. Bro, it's twice a day from Fort Myers all the way to October 28th. Let's put it that way. And sometimes you like, no, I'm not going to talk about the third catcher. You know, let's talk about what's going on, and we have to play better to get to October, right? And actually, I do believe the last three games, we've been better. Yesterday, tough one offensively, But pitching-wise was good. We play okay defense. I guess New York, the last two were good. You know, we just have to start hitting with men in scoring position.
How often do you, because you talk to the media a lot. It's a big part of your job, not just us, but
it's,
obviously.
It's the part of the job.
Yes, it is. How often do you say something and kind of immediately say, ugh, because Mike Vrabel talked about it this week. He was on the Greg Hill show 6:30. I think he phrased it 6:30 on a Monday morning after a loss. I said something and then it gets used against me in a court of law.
With all the respect to the 6:30 show, that's why I don't do it at 6:30.
Good for you.
I mean, they're great. I do it in Fort Myers, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's a long night. You're asking, it might be a long night, and you answered the wrong question.
Right.
I mean, it's the one thing, when people ask me about this job, and this is the reality of it, I hate to say it this way, but you control the narrative, right? From the first day you're on the bench in Fort Myers, all the way to the last out of hopefully the World Series, right? And there's certain days that you're on point, right? And there's certain days that you really don't want to answer questions. And you're like very, although I'm not there yet with Belichick, you know, like just cut him off. But there's certain things that through the media you can accomplish, right? And I was watching MLB Network and the quote came out. And Brian Kenny's talking about it, and Joe Maddon is talking about it. Like, man, that wasn't meant to be, you know? Like it was more about the third catcher question. But it's not an easy job. And the thing here in this market, compared to others, maybe Booney gets it because he does the podcast, yep, which is tough. That's very tough.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something in April and it doesn't match with – what you said in April, you say something in April, and then in July you say something different that doesn't match with that. You guys will bring it up.
Yep.
And I respect that. I respect that. You know, and yeah. I mean that's fair games. You know, and you have good days and bad days. I guess I had a bad day that day, but you guys know how I feel about October. You know, when you play in this place, not making it to playoffs is not acceptable. We've been really good the whole season, and one thing for sure, and this is something talking to the third base coach of the Tigers, my brother, is like you got to stay focused on what's in front of you. I think for one or two days, a lot of people are looking back here. And, hey, we're two games behind the Yankees. We have a wild card spot right now. Let's keep going. You know, don't stop. We have a good baseball team. Are we hitting right now? We're not. You know, we're not playing great. But we're playing okay, so hopefully today we win the game, we win the series tomorrow, and we go on the road.
This is New England. We live to blame our problems on other people and live in the past, Alex. I mean, you know this by now. And as far as it goes with Vrabel, like, his game's done at 4 o'clock on Sunday, so he's got time to get home, get to bed. Like, you're here till midnight. You can't be up at 6 in the morning answering questions at that hour.
I'm here till midnight. You don't know what time I go to bed, especially when the family's not. Like, last night, the family's not in town. And you're there watching the highlights and going over the game, and it's like, oh my God, you better go to sleep, kid.
Yeah, it's 2:30.
You got work tomorrow.
You got to talk to the radio guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot has been connected to the offense struggling since Roman Anthony unfortunately went down.
Yeah.
So it's been 2 weeks since you announced that he was going on the DL. Can we get an update?
He's walking on the treadmill. Up to 25 minutes. Yesterday, he told me it was a great walk. I mean,
he was a retired guy in Florida?
He's a 76-year-old woman.
he walked into the
clubhouse. We're going to take him to the Natick Mall, South Shore Plaza.
He walked into the clubhouse, and I'm like, how you feeling? He's like, I'm feeling better. And where we at right now is like 25-minute walk on the treadmill. It was great. Yeah. He's feeling better. Still sore, but adding stuff to his rehab. No timetables, of course, but one thing that caught my attention yesterday was kind of like he went to my office and he's like, hey, I'm feeling better, you know, and I haven't heard that in a while.
Because last Wednesday you gave us the update, you're like, yeah, he's still really sore, and that made us feel like, oh, yeah. So he felt the same way as when he injured it. That's no.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while, but, you know, he's doing everything possible to hopefully get back.
So you referenced the lineup and some of the struggles, and we've all watched them. We see that first inning against the Yankees when it looks easy, and you just boom, 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 then it goes quiet. Last night it goes quiet. How do you explain it? How do you get this lineup going? What's the common thread as to why the struggles continue?
I think how many at-bats the last four games or five games with men in scoring position, I think it's like 46, right?
Yep, 40-something.
So the line is moving. You know, we're getting on base. We're getting 10 hits a game. Yesterday, ref walked three times. As a team, we walked five. I think Trevor has done it this season, kind of like take the humble approach with men in scoring position, right? He's been shooting the ball to right field, giving him a chance to make contact, right? Shoot it to right field. If they hang something in the zone, he can hit it over the monster. But just take what they give you. There were certain at-bats against New York, against Fried. I thought we were really, really good, you know? 105 pitches in five innings, right, or six innings. We used the middle of the field, and we have to get back to that. Yesterday, we had bases loaded, and, you know, there was a pitch there to Sedan. We're preaching patience, right, with the kid. He takes the first one, it's a ball. He takes the second one, it's a ball. The third one, it's a cold strike.
You weren't happy.
And he wasn't either. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, we talked to him before the game. You got to be patient. You got to be patient. He is patient. He doesn't get the call. Next pitch, it's the same spot. He swings at it, and then a changeup, he strikes out. And then Romy, who's been one of our best hitters against lefties and righties, he hits into a double play. But the one thing that I'm happy with, the line is moving. We just have to cash in now.
So are you – you had a comment the other day, something to the effect like the way the Yankees play, and we that's cool and everybody loves it, but we got to be who we are. Is that a team thing? Is that an individual
thing? This is where we at right now as a team. We're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark. I think the last homer with men in scoring position was Ref in Sacramento, and this is who we are right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but they're not right now, so let's cash in. The Yankees, that's what they do. They hit homers. Us, we have to get on base, run the bases well, put them in play, and score runs.
So, Bayo's ERA the last three starts is over 5.6. So, I'm just curious, because he had a great August, and it's been up a little bit recently. Feeling good? Is he tired? Is everything? Because he's about to hit his inning, the highest innings total for a season as well.
No, he's feeling good. The one against the Yankees, he was off in that first inning, right? Hit by pitch and... You know, we walked Judge and Rice hit the double. But stuff-wise, he's in a good place. He hit 98, 99 in Arizona, so no concerns.
Okay. Will your Abreu update close day-to-day? Could we see him?
Day-to-day. And
maybe
just talk to him
tomorrow?
I just talked to him, and he feels okay. He hit live BP on Monday. That day he was sore, and it was more about the workload on Sunday actually than actually, you know, one thing is to be sore, the other is to be tight, you know. So he was a little bit sore. He ran yesterday, feels good today. We'll go through the whole thing today and see where we at.
How hard is that for him? Because I look at him as a guy that when he gets hot, he's the guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark and carry you guys.
I mean, it isn't a bad that we need. We know that. And this is even before Roman got hurt, because Willie hit in seventh, you know. He provided pop from the lineup, you know. First and second, two outs, seventh hitter, hits a homer, he's a three-run lead. So hopefully we get him back.
How does it, lastly for me, how does this go for you right now, like in terms of how much of this is like trying extra to motivate the guys, give them what they need, versus like you appreciating the moment and then your scoreboard watching? Like, how do you handle all the different things that go into it? And can you just stop and appreciate the fact that, like, you have a chance to make the playoffs?
That's the best point right there. You know, like, I was today, I did my thing, went out, ran a little bit, came back to the house. I was watching TV. I'm like, hey, kid, man, we got a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're whatever we are in the wild card, we got a chance to catch up with the Yankees. We got a chance to play meaningful games in October. So enjoy it. Enjoy it.
You hear that word he said? October.
Enjoy
like
it.
That word.
Yeah. There it is. He
right.
said it.
All right, yeah. Alex. Good luck tonight, tomorrow, and
lineup changes, man. No ask, no questions.
Oh, you want?
Oh, we got a little lineup change.
Yeah, give me the lineup.
We're going. Trevor second, Alex third.
Ooh. Oh wow.
We're gonna try that one today.
So we're jump
moves.
Starting one guy, hopefully.
And
but
keep
I don't
going.
Like moving the guy who's hot.
Well, we need traffic. We need traffic. I think the kid is gonna have a good game tonight.
And I dare say this will, I believe this is our last interview with you here in person at Fenway. We'll obviously talk to you next week as well, but we've always enjoyed the in-person interviews, the candor, the friendliness. This is great. I hope it is not our last in-person Fenway interview with you.
Amen to that. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Go Sox.
Good luck. That's Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox here on WEEI Afternoons.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
0-1 to Refsnyder. Is driven high and deep into
left field. It is way back and it is off the pole. Hogdale is magic off the Fisk pole. And it's 2-1 Red Sox.
That's about as good as you can get. That's about as good as you can get, man. Unbelievable.
Holy bleep. The Red Sox go ahead.
Oh, my God.
What a dynamic force Rob Refsnyder has been. Amazing. And Alex Cora puts him lower in the lineup, and he delivers 2-1 Sox.
Tonight, on the flagship station for the Boston Red Sox, WEEI, Hogdale there for the call. An exciting moment, an exciting win. And Hogdale joins us now here on Jones and Keith, live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. What's up, Hog?
Dude, I've been amazing. It's not as hard to say this has been like the best last couple of days of my entire life. This has been phenomenal.
You've been everywhere. We've seen you all over Fenway Park. You're in the booth last night with Fleming and Monaco. Like, what a thrill this has been, huh?
100%. I mean, dude, not in my wildest dreams when I started yakking in front of a microphone a couple of years ago.
So that's what I was going to ask you. When did you decide, like, hey, obviously a huge Sox fan, but I'm going to go on Twitch and I am going to just call these games and just like rip off clips and call home runs and have fun? When did you decide to do that?
Last year. I've been potting since 2021, but okay. Like last year I kind of had the epiphany. I can't talk, whatever.
You're a play-by-play guy, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's early. Yeah, play-by-play guys usually settle in like right around
what's
first
in front
pitch.
Of them.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I really, no one's calling Sox games on Twitch. I thought that was so weird because like every other aspect of like talking about the Sox online is occupied very much, except for Twitch. I'm like, well, why can't I do that? So I started doing that every game. I committed to it. I actually moved back from my dad's place back to, you know, my mom's, and I saved up some money. I'm like, I'm just going to do this for an entire summer, like with my saved money, and it paid off dividends, 100%.
That's great. So where are you broadcasting from exactly?
Nevada, Iowa.
It is Nevada, Iowa.
The middle of America.
Okay, so I was going to ask you to describe that. So what is, outside of being in the middle of America, how would you describe Nevada, Iowa?
Not much to do there.
It's
very nice.
Calling games on Twitch.
Great traffic.
Pretty much
twitching away with the Red Sox. So why the Red Sox?
My dad's from Rockland, Rockland, Mass. My uncle was actually born in Brockton. So yeah.
Okay, so some local ties.
Heavy blood ties. Heavy blood ties.
So is Hogdale a birth name, a nickname? How did you get the name Hogdale? Or if there's an air of mystery to it, you don't have to tell us, but how did you come up with Hogdale?
Well, I didn't come. It was my dad. My dad, it's what he calls all of his brothers. It's actually because
Hogdale? He calls all of his brothers Hogdale?
You guys are at a family reunion and you're like, what's up, Hogdale? Hey, I need a burger there, Hogdale. Who's cooking the hot dogs, Hogdale?
It's actually because my uncle was in jail in Missouri.
Okay.
My dad went to go bail him out. The jail guard there mispronounced his name as Hogdale. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
That's a much better answer than I would have guessed.
So, yeah, since then, everybody, he calls all his brothers Hogdale and me Hogdale.
Wow.
All the males in the family were Hogdale.
How many Hogdale brothers are there?
Your
uncles, I guess, brothers, yeah.
I had four uncles, I believe, and a sister, an aunt as well. And then
what do they call
her? Younger brother.
Hogmam.
Hogmam.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like the Anthony situation.
It
Roman
is.
Anthony's got a family full of Anthonys. You have a family full of Hogdales.
Yeah,
bunch that's of excellent. I'll be honest. I think that's part of the appeal. It's part of what drew me towards you. When I heard your calls at first, I'm like, Andy's got a great name. He's got a very unique name. And then the calls. Was there a time where, so you were doing the games a year ago. Was there a time where all of a sudden, was it somebody that either like retweeted it or something that all of a sudden you were like, oh, way more people are seeing this now than they were before?
Honestly, it was a really steady build for the most part. I mean, I had a pretty big bump when I had Jared Carabas on the stream. Yeah. It helped me grow my Twitch audience. But in general, like, it's been a pretty gradual rise over the course of this year. But, I mean, right at the beginning of the season, there was a big bump. I just think that had to do with interest in the team.
The team's
everyone
better.
Thought the team.
Yeah.
All off season, I was like begging, please, for the love of God, be good, please.
We're hoping they hang on here with 10 games to go. I want to, you hear this from time to time, Keith. I know you listen to a lot of acting podcasts, things like this, or film podcasts. People want to know about the process. What's the Hogdale process like? Are you reading up on games? You taking notes? You got a spotting board in front of you like a lot of play-by-play guys do? You got snacks? Like what's the Hogdale process?
Oh, pregame
like?
Meal?
Yeah, getting ready for a big call on a Red Sox game.
I'm not going to lie. I'm probably the biggest fraud of all time. I'm the least prepared broadcaster in history of planet Earth. Everything comes off the dome, basically.
Wow.
It's that.
No notes?
Browsing Twitter.
In your face, Joe Buck.
How about that?
Joe Buck is wasting
working
time.
Overrated.
Yeah,
doing
yeah.
prep work overrated is yeah, what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I'm sure with a more professional gathering, like, it's yeah. nice to have, like, notes, but for the most part, I have a really good memory when it comes to
okay.
sports stats, the Sox, plus just checking up on Twitter, but yeah. 99% of what I do is off the dome.
Like, but you also provide your own color commentary, too.
Yep.
So that's why I said you're sort of like the new age Vin Scully. Like, Vin Scully would call a game by himself, as does Hogdale. Like, all due respect, I love Will Fleming. He's not calling a game by himself. He's got somebody there next to him.
Yeah. I do love him. He has great verbal prose, and I aspire to get to his level of verbal prose. Because the thing is like, I'm like Will. I vision myself as like Will Fleming if he didn't have like the leash of, you know, the FCC.
That's true.
Him
yeah,
back.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
Will Fleming who swears.
Yeah, Ken back there reining him in. Yeah, that's exactly
the man
what it
back
is.
Here.
Yeah, seriously.
Holding us down.
Was it, would you ever be open to an analyst, or is it just your one man show?
Oh yeah. I mean, it depends. I'd have to have someone on my stream specifically. Like, I do like it just being me for the most part. But like, I don't know if the opportunity came up, if I'm the right person, I'd bring him on. But I do like it being a one-man operation for the most part.
It's pretty good. How do you pick and choose the highlights? Do you have guys that help you with that? Or
No, it's just me.
Okay.
It's just me.
One-man show.
No hog team.
I usually have a viewer, like, who's just very his name is C-Money. He'll usually, like, clip in real time. But then, like, as the game is going on, I'll pull the clip up, make sure that, like, it's good.
Yeah.
Or if I have to shave a couple seconds off,
get the whole
post it on Twitter. Yeah, it's all happening real time.
It's been great.
Okay. Well,
we enjoyed it.
Shout out, C Money.
Yep.
How are Momdale and Hogdad feeling about all this? The newfound fame.
Phenomenal. They're so excited for me. They're my number one, number two fans. My mom and grandma are actually with me on this trip here. They've been here to everywhere.
Oh, excellent.
Did I see you? People were commenting on you got the Hogdale jersey. Not today. You're wearing the very flat.
Ooh, City Connect.
Yeah, I bought that City Connect. I really wanted to wear it for Game 3. I did.
But,
it's so clean.
But great. You said your mom, I think, purchased you one of the Hogdale shirts,
yeah,
right?
She got like a custom, like, you know, the not jersey kind, but, you know, like custom, like Red Sox logo. It says Hogdale in the back with 33. Nice. Yeah, I mean, she's my number. She's in every stream. She's there. My grandma's there.
Moms,
so anyone who's, you know, saying,
they're in the stream.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
If you're saying crazy
support.
Things,
that
to
is
the
great
stream,
support.
Just know, like, they see what you're saying. You sick freaks. Every
there are some.
They see it.
Yeah, that happens. We're on Twitch too, and so you get some weird stuff. That's definitely true. Now, you're nothing if not honest. So I want to know, who is your favorite player on the team, and also maybe as important, who's your least favorite player on the team?
I mean, favorite player on the it became Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
It was Tristan Cassis, then he died, sadly, of that.
Yep.
His knee exploded.
Yeah.
I will defend him till my dying breath. Least favorite player on the team. It was Jordan Hicks, but then like they put him away. He's horrible.
Keith likes Jordan Hicks.
For a day, he threw 100 miles an hour, and then I've moved on. I moved on quickly from Jordan.
He occupied that space of the fakest 100-mile-an-hour thrower since Caleb Ort, where, like, theoretically, he throws 100 miles an hour.
Great.
And you saw him do it, like, once.
No movement.
Yeah, it's like
right
97,
the
98,
yeah.
The worst sinker you've ever seen.
I know you're on Yoshida quite a bit for grounding out the second every single time.
Oh,
he's
he's up there. He's on my list for sure.
Yeah, we were – I think Keith and I kind of unlocked Connor Wong, Bragg. When
we were at the game where he smoked a double.
We were at a game where he started making some solid contact, but we were all on Wong early in the year, too.
No, I mean, I'm very proud of myself. I was boots on the ground. Connor Wong is horrible brigade. Basically, day one last year. I mean,
you sniffed it out before everybody else.
There are dozens of us.
When you're watching every game pitch by pitch, and how, I mean, he's been better this year, but he's regressed again.
Yeah.
He was the worst blocker in the sport last year. Just a slice of Swiss cheese would have done a better job blocking balls last year behind the plate than him.
No, Narvaez has been great, in part because he can play more.
Oh, he's my beloved.
He's great.
Carlos Narvaez.
The
so
captain.
Much.
Look, obviously all these calls, a lot of games, very demanding. You made the trip here to Boston. But what's downtime for Hogdale? When you're not calling a game, what is downtime looking like for Hogdale?
Just hanging out with some friends. We watch the UFC on the weekends usually.
Oh.
Otherwise, usually I'm just kind of hanging out. Very boring individual. Read some books, listen to some audiobooks, watch other sports. I'm a junkie. I'm a fiend when it comes to sports. I'm trying to catch more Liverpool games this year.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
Would you ever? Oh, here's an idea. Would you ever call a UFC fight?
Man, I feel like I'm so unqualified. Because, like, it'd be pure emotion.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Because, like, it'd just be pure, oh, my God. Well, he took his head off.
That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. That's not bad. I'd probably listen to that. That's not bad.
It'd be fun. It'd be like the least technical because like I've never done fighting or like Muay Thai, any of that
all
stuff.
The different moves. What about Patriots?
I'd have to call in Sammy James because he knows that stuff.
You did a Pats game or you've done a few Pats games. Are you doing more of those or are those just pick and choose?
I'm going to do all of them.
You are?
Okay. Yeah, unless like the only one I'd miss if there's like a direct conflict of interest between them and the Sox.
Oh, which there
the
could
Pats
be, right?
were horrible last year, so they're always playing at noon.
Yeah,
right. That actually is like a thankful thing now because like the Sox are usually 3 or 6 now on the weekends. So I don't think there's going to be a conflict of interest. I'm going to call every single game if I can.
Great.
How about that?
What's your prediction for the Sox as far as like what seed, who they open up with, how far they go?
How far they go? Man. A lot of it depends on the opponent.
Do they get there? Do they get there?
I think they can get there. Okay. I think if they lost last night, I'd feel completely differently. But I think they can tread water, make it in that 6 seed. Maybe they sneak into the 5 seed. If we get the Yankees, I'll feel very confident.
Yeah, same.
Like, I'm not scared of the Yankees at all. I think the only team I'd be, like, genuinely scared of is, like, oh, you're matched up with Houston round one. But if you're
top five dream podcast guests, living or dead, you were number one on my list. I don't remember where you came in on Keith's list.
It wasn't in the top five, but I'm happy he's here.
But he was placed.
Yeah, I don't have to do that. I mean, I'm happy he's here.
Honorable mention, I think. But Hogdale, thank you for joining us. It's been a fun time watching you this weekend here at Fenway Park. Where can the people check you out?
Just on Twitter. I'm Hogdale_ and on Twitch. You can find me at just twitch.tv Hogdale33.
Okay. We're big fans. Hogdale, thanks for stopping by. Enjoy the game today. And best of luck. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll circle back to some Pats and Red Sox talk next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.